This is the Goalkeepers Union podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the sticks, me, Matt Beadle, here with the crystal clear voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
We are back. No more potato from now on, Matthew Beadle.
No more spuds, mate. I can hear you. It's wonderful. You've got all your equipment. We're set up as we usually are, so we're back to normal.
Indeed. I am right behind my desk, which I'm probably going to be spending a lot of time here now. That's the plan. So we should now be crystal clear for certainly a couple of months. No huge travel plans in the upcoming future. So we should be good to go for quite some time now.
Yes, January is fast approaching. So busy times ahead.
It is. And as you can imagine, very different window. I know we spoke about this before in that January is a more reactive window than the summer window. Everyone's still under contract. So it's not necessarily something you can see as far in advance, but at the same time, of course, there's always goalkeeper movement in January. We spoke about a lot of the different situations at Premier League clubs. There's lots of similar situations further down the footballing pyramid. So I do expect it to be busy-ish, but it's always tough to tell at this point because there's still many games until January.
Okay, we've got plenty to get on with, so we will get on with the show. But just before that, do you know what I'm going to do?
Go on.
I'm going to do something I haven't done in a long time because of the way you spoke of it last week. I'm going to mention how people can get in touch with us.
Ah,
it's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. Go on, please do.
On Twitter, at GK Union. On email, hello at goalkeepersunion.net, or on our phone number, 07503-673-020. And I do this because we've got another spot of correspondence in this particular show.
Excellent. I mean, you are inundated with correspondence. It's great that you can reply to everyone.
On with the show.
Let's do it.
Okay, we are going to start in the Premier League at the London Stadium. West Ham 3, Nottingham Forest 2. And the reason we start here is because there was one in a theme, Richard, of excellent left-handed similar-looking saves at the weekend. So in the Championship, we had one from Mads Hermansen. In League One, there was one from Max Crocombe. And here, it was Alphonse Areola yet again. So he's not long bagged the Premier League save of the month for October. And in keeping out Taiwo Iwoniyi's header in this one, he could be in line for the November award.
Yeah, excellent save. And you're right, I've actually always make my notes when I go through all the saves from the weekend. And I've written the word excellent about six times, which is unusual. There were some top saves this weekend, this being one of them. Areola, so explosive. This, for me, is a great example of ball's come in from across. He's got himself set on the line, body weight forward. His set position's perfect. Like, when you look at the timing of his set as the ball's being headed, he's then able to explode across to his left. So powerful. And it is. It's almost that claw-type save, as opposed to a parry away, kind of clawing it back ever so slightly. But yeah, excellent save. And we talk a lot about his athleticism, but this really is just one of those moments of pure explosive power. Really good save to his left. And I actually felt very sorry for him on the goal down to his right, because I actually thought what he tried to do was very intelligent.
Which was?
So it's full stretch to his right. And I know there was one or two comments, you know, dangerous area, etc. This is one of them that's going across you. You can't get two hands to it. You can only get one hand. And effectively, you've got one of a few choices. One is to try and just get the smallest of fingertips, but there's a risk to this. It could end up in the corner, and then, of course, you are getting questioned. Another one is to get a decent hand to it and parry it out wide. But, of course, you had a player coming in. So what he's tried to do is effectively do a similar technique to the first one. You can sense that he knows someone's there, and he's actually tried to scoop it back into play to try and miss out the on-rushing striker. And unfortunately, he wasn't able to get quite enough on it, and the guy's got a toe on it, and it's ended up in the back of the net anyway. But I think that this was certainly by design. Like, it wasn't one of them where he's parried it into a bad area. I think he's actually sensed there's someone there, and he's tried to do what would have been the best play and almost put it back towards the way that he's coming from to get it out of danger.
We tend to see these week in, week out, don't we? There was another example of it at the weekend in the game between Chelsea and Manchester City. We'll get onto that game shortly. But just before we move on to the next game, let's quickly refer to the, I think it was the third goal, was it, scored by Nicholas Jackson for Chelsea, where Edison parried it again, as some people might say, into a dangerous area.
Yeah, well, I think this is very different in that I don't think he meant to do this. And actually, interestingly, I watched this game and he did get an injury just before. I wonder whether that was still on his mind a bit. Because you can see, even after the goal, he's kind of holding his ankle, his foot. He picked up some form of injury. And it was straight after this that this happened. So I do wonder if that was still in his mind a bit. I do think he's trying to parry this out wide and he's just misparried it. You know, ever so slightly, it hits the wrong part of his hand. It comes back central, and in the end, it's a good finish from Jackson. But yeah, whereas I think the Areola one, I think he did exactly what he meant to do, and he was just unfortunate that the striker almost kind of stumbled into it and put it into the goal. Whereas I think with Edison, he was trying to parry out left, but unfortunately, he parried it back straight.
So Areola was on the winning side in that one. On the losing side was Nick Pope in Bournemouth 2, Newcastle 0. However, 8 saves in the game from Pope, the pick of the bunch from Luis Sinisterra. What reactions with this one? Excellent, I'm guessing you might say.
I did write down excellent for this too, yes. I wrote down brilliant actually for this one because I don't know if there's much difference between excellent and brilliant. Have you got a preference? What would be higher in the food chain?
Excellent.
Oh, would it? Okay, I'm going to scribble out brilliant and I'm going to write excellent again because it was very, very, very good. Do you know what? I've written down the word inventive because look, the ball's been fired along the ground. You can see he started to go low to make the save down low. Of course, it takes the deflection, comes up high. You don't have time to then put your arm out and make the save with your hand. And he's effectively almost swiped his arm up and got enough of a deflection as he's falling forward because he's still going for the ball that was initially going low. So inventive. You know, and certainly for somebody of his size, you wouldn't necessarily always associate with goalkeepers that big, you know, flexibility, agility, etc. But I thought the agility used here to actually get his arm up as quickly as he did, I thought was very good.
Neto returned for Bournemouth in that game, so a clean sheet and a few decent stops from him. But I thought the comments from the Bournemouth manager, Andoni Iraola, were interesting. I think before the game, he made these comments where he described the goalkeeping situation at Bournemouth as an open position. So obviously you have Neto, who is seemingly the number one, Andre Radu, who deputised for Neto while he was out, as the two. But Mark Travers has been recalled from Stoke, and then you have a very experienced Darren Randolph in the mix too. So to describe it as an open position, I don't know whether he's just following trend from what seems to be this whole goalkeeping is just an open position these days.
Yeah, I guess it's a little bit of that. And I also think that it's a case of, you know, they've got four goalkeepers there who could all legitimately be the number one. Mark Travers has been pulled back from Stoke, where he was obviously playing regularly there. And so now he's coming back to, you know, effectively now be the three, potentially, you know, depending on what happens with him and Radu. So, yeah, I think he's doing that more of a try and keep all the goalkeepers happy. I don't expect there to be a change. I think the Neto has very much nailed down that one spot and I would expect him to keep playing. But I do think that's more of a call to the other goalkeepers to say, look, you are in my thoughts, you know, and anything could happen.
Also on the losing side was James Trafford in Arsenal 3, Burnley 1. Two good saves, though, from him. Early saves from Bukayo Saka and his own man in Jordan Bayer. Also a proper whack on the post in that collision with Leandro Trossard for the opener.
Yeah, well, the save in particular I want to mention was, I think it was Saka on the angle. Brilliant, brilliant save this, going right in the top corner. And he's gone top hand to his left. Speed of reactions, so powerful, getting up into that top corner so quickly to get fingertips. Brilliant, brilliant save. And I really felt for him for the goal that he conceded, because I think every goalkeeper listening in, we've all been in this position where you're boxed in, 6-yard box, corner comes in on your head, and there's just so little you can do sometimes. You've got a man stood in front of you who's got the jump on you. You can't necessarily move in that position or get that step forward to get in front of him. So you're sort of wrestling with him to try and get a position to get something on it. So I've watched it so many times. It's one that as a goalkeeper you look at and think, oh, what more can I do? Because it doesn't look great, of course. But then I also think you put most goalkeepers in that position and you do a replay of that moment. I think very few are able to deal with it effectively, because it's just, even now with all the great football that you see being played, there is something about a team just putting it under the crossbar and putting 10 men around the goalkeeper, which effectively was what it was, obviously with the defenders being in play as well. So really felt for him on that one, because I just don't know what more he can do.
Quickly clearing up the rest. Also on the losing side again was Thomas Kaminski in Luton's defeat to Manchester United. A top point blank save though from Rasmus Højlund in that one. He's making a habit of those this season. Brian Mbeumo, the latest with a case of Alissonitis, that's returned in Brentford's loss at Liverpool. And Emi Martinez with a fine fingertip to keep out Raul Jimenez. That was a crucial stage in Aston Villa's eventual win over Fulham.
Yeah, a couple more excellents on my page. Certainly Thomas Kaminski, this is that classic one. Ball comes across, you can't come for the cross. How quickly can you get across the goal? How big can you make yourself at point of impact? And he did all of that, you know, made it really difficult for the striker. Brilliant, brilliant save. And Martinez, I mean, this could not be going any more in the corner, and he is absolutely at full stretch. It's the smallest fingertip, but it was enough to get it onto the post. Again, you know, I'll probably use similar words again, but it's just so explosive to get down that quickly and get across for a big guy again to do that is top.
And finally, Chelsea 4, Manchester City 4. We are going to have one of these.
Commentary corner.
So a fair bit to discuss here, Richard. We actually got a tweet in from Divesh Nair, who said he won't get much credit, but Rob Sanchez has been excellent again versus City. That save against Haaland was top. So let's talk about that save from Sanchez when Erling Haaland was clean through and on his left foot, because we also received a WhatsApp from Sam Heafield, who was listening to the game on BBC Radio 5 Live, and flagged to us some comments made by Robbie Savage, who was talking to Steve Crossman, the presenter, at half time. Now, Robbie Savage said, "I'm still waiting to see the unbelievable, incredible save that Sanchez did. Where was that one? I'd have saved that." Crossman obviously said, "No, you wouldn't." And he said, "Dear me, standards, Steve, standards. It was a decent save. If Sanchez doesn't save that, then he shouldn't be in the team. Let's be fair."
Yeah. I mean, look, it's a brilliant, brilliant save. And I can't help but feel that Robbie Savage has said that for effect, which he has done from time to time. Ex-teammate of mine, of course, up at Blackburn. So there were many comments like that when we used to play together. Really enjoyed them. But no, look, I've got no doubt he's saying that for effect, because it's a top, top save. He's actually read the situation. If you watch it again, he's read what Haaland's doing. And if he doesn't read it, he doesn't save it. So it's one of them. And again, this is the type of save, and as much as, you know, I talk about size and how I don't think it means all that much difference whether you're 5'11" or 6'5". You know, Rob Sanchez is 6'5". This is one of those moments where I think it does make a difference. You know, I think someone like myself, as powerful as I was during my better years, I wouldn't have been able to get to this ball. The way in which he's got down, you know, full stretch, it's just, and the speed of reactions, reading the play, reading the situation, his positioning, everything about this is spot on. It is a top, top save. And again, I think when you just look at it, maybe from Robbie Savage's perspective or an outfield perspective, you know, it's one of them where he's not necessarily, or it's not necessarily going right in the corner. But I think what a lot don't see is everything that goes into this save. So many would have come rushing out and tried to spread, and then Haaland probably dinks you. The fact he stayed deep, he's made Haaland take the shot. He's read what Haaland's going to do. His positioning is absolutely bang on. And the speed and reach that he has to get to this, that's what makes it a fantastic save.
Yeah, Mark Schwarzer was on co-commentary during that game. So he did say, which backs up what you're saying, and this is very much a tongue-in-cheek commentary corner, really. He did say, "I've been on a show before with him," this is Savage, "where he's actually criticised the goalkeeper. We go to a break, and then he asks me, 'Is that right? Was I right what I said there? I've got no idea. You're the goalkeeper. Tell me.'"
Yeah. And that's it. But that's kind of where, and again, we get a bit wound up sometimes when we talk about a lot of these different commentary corners. I've also got to bear in mind that, of course, they are paid to say things that are maybe a little bit on the edge. You know, whether that's goalkeeping, outfield, I do get that, because it does create talking points. Hey, it creates a lot of talking points for us every week.
It does. And actually, it gives us an opportunity to just refer back to some punditry from Eni Aluko in the game between, I think it was the Chelsea-Brentford game from a couple of weeks ago when we didn't get to do a pod. But this has kind of given us an opportunity to actually mention it, because you've been quite staunch in your defence of Robert Sanchez so far this season. And it was before the game where they were stood literally 20 yards from Sanchez, and she was saying that he was shaky, that she wasn't convinced by Chelsea's acquisition of Sanchez so far this season, wasn't happy with him playing out from the back, and that they potentially need another option. It was just another case of really awkward, unsubstantiated punditry, really.
Well, that's the word, unsubstantiated. I think that it's, you know, it's very easy to make very general comments, you know, and we've heard them before. We've heard a few over the last few weeks. You know, you won't win a goal, won't win a league with that goalkeeper in goal, and so on and so forth. And it's like, okay, why? Like, you can't just say that, and almost it's like a given, like it's factual. It's not. There's no real substance that sits behind it. And yeah, look, if you were to assess Robert Sanchez's performance so far, has he had a few moments? Yeah, there's been a few. You can sense it's taken a bit of time to get used to the style of play. But there's been some incredible moments as well, like some of the saves that he's making, and big saves at big times. For me, I think in terms of how this has started for him at Chelsea, I'm sure that the goalkeeper coaches and the manager are delighted with him. You know, they've had a bit of a rough time, certainly earlier on in the season. They seem to be coming good now. But from his own point of view, to really settle into that position, a tough gig as well. After not playing for a while at Brighton, suddenly you're in the spotlight that you will be at Chelsea. I think he's done really, really well so far.
It is the EFL overview, starting in the Championship, where there was one of the aforementioned left-handed saves in the game between Middlesbrough and Leicester. Mads Hermansson throwing out a paw to deny Dale Fry, but it was very much out of the chip pan and into the fire for the Dane, who couldn't keep out an impressively struck free kick from Sam Greenwood to hand the home side the points. Senny Dieng at the other end flying to his right to preserve the win and clean sheet in saving from Yannick Vestergaard. Two first appearances of the season and a clean sheet apiece for Bradley Collins of Coventry and Ben Hamer of Watford. Collins ending Ben Wilson's 61 consecutive league games with his long wait for an EFL return since February, and Hamer making it just his second start since January 2022 in for the injured Dan Backman and dutifully deputising following the 5-0 rout of Rotherham.
A big well done to obviously Bradley Collins and Ben Hamer, because certainly, again, going back to my point, when you haven't played for a period of time, and certainly someone like Ben Hamer, where, you know, he has been a two for quite some time now, waiting for that opportunity. Never easy stepping in last minute in the way that he did, but to step in, keep a clean sheet, fantastic day for him. Similarly for Brad Collins, you always kind of wondered when they brought him in, was it a case that at some point he may become the one? Because it didn't seem like they were necessarily bringing him in to be the number two. You got a feel for Simon Moore there, who of course was the number one for so long and now finds himself effectively as a three. So wouldn't surprise me if something happens with Simon Moore in the not too distant future. But yeah, big well done to Brad Collins. But at the same time, kind of feel a bit sorry for Ben Wilson. You know, did so well last season, seemingly has been solid this season from what I've seen. But of course, that's the life of goalkeeping. It can certainly change very, very quickly. But a couple of the saves to mention. Another excellent that I've written down, and that was, yeah, the save from Senny Dieng. Really, really powerful down to his right. Thought this was one of the saves of the weekend. And the Hermansson, as you say, very similar in a way to the Areola save to his left, where it is that. And again, for me, this is quite intelligent in that when you realise you're in that position, you're slightly going back on yourself. You can't just parry. It needs to be that claw back into play effectively. So I thought it was a really intelligent, very, very sharp save.
Into League One, where there was a mixed afternoon for Sol Brin of Leyton Orient. First, he scampered across his line to save a certain goal for Oxford's Mark Harris. Then he passed directly to Harris, who fed Ruben Rodriguez for the opener. Then he made a brilliant double save before the third effort in that passage of play was converted again by Rodriguez for the third goal and what proved to be the winner for the visitors. A couple of crackers from Crocombe as the Cobblers put Burton to the sword. It could have been more had it not been for Max, who twice denied Northampton's Mitch Pinnock. That's 14 starts now in a row since stepping in for Jamal Blackman back in August. An eventful day at Fratton Park for Will Norris, chastised by Charlton fans and players for allegedly time-wasting. So he was pelted with objects when going to ground following a collision with Alfie May, finally conceding a horrid equaliser in injury time too. Luke Southwood earning a point for Cheltenham with a second-half penalty save from Stephen Humphries of Wigan. And can we have the goalkeeper assist klaxon, please? David Button of Reading with what I'm going to call a directed zinger. So it's latched onto by Sam Smith, whose finish was to die for as the visitors took a 2-0 lead, only to concede 2 in injury time and lose 3-2 to Shrewsbury. But we'll forget about that. Let's just focus on the assist.
Yeah, really frustrating for him in that it's a brilliant, brilliant assist. You can actually see, like, I know sometimes we talk about this when it's an assist, and effectively it's a big kick downfield, and it just so happens that the person who picks up the ball scores the goal. This was a brilliant pass, because you can actually see as he picks up pretty much on his goal line, he looks forward and there's like a quick movement where he can see the striker breaking, and it's just a perfect side volley. It's gone three quarters of the length of the field right into his path, and it's an excellent finish. But yeah, a shame for him that they did concede late on, because how often do we speak about this? You know, it's when you have those brilliant moments. If you end up winning the game 2-1, no doubt fans speak about it forevermore. Whereas you end up losing 3-2, maybe it doesn't have quite the same impact, but it was a special, special moment. And yeah, a couple of other names to mention. Ash Maynard Brewer, I was going to mention, because I did watch this game and he made some excellent saves. I know he got man of the match in this game. A little bit of a rush blood for the penalty that he gave away, where he came right onto the corner of the box. But this did remind me of one of those situations, and it's probably what commentators say. I don't necessarily believe in it, but it's what commentators say. day where they'll say, look, if you're going to come, come the whole way. And it did feel a bit like that. Like he came halfway and thought, do you know what, I've committed now, I'm going to come. And unfortunately, it wasn't his moment. But then some of the saves he made either side of that were just top saves. So to get a result at Portsmouth, of course, is a huge result for Charlton. In that same game, of course, you mentioned Will Norris. I think he'd be a bit frustrated with a couple. And I felt for him, certainly on the one where both were kind of near post, but the I think it might have been the first one where he's essentially read what he thinks the winger's trying to do, which is cut it back. So there is a natural tendency to start to lean towards what you think is going to happen. Then, of course, Sod's Law, it goes in right by his foot down the other side. And another one that I felt for was Sol Brin, as you mentioned, because a couple of great saves in this one. And then it's just one of them. I think any other area in the pitch, if you drag a pass, you don't get punished. And even with this, the moment he struck it, it's just dragged it. It's as simple as that. We've all done it. And then you're just hoping that your defenders help you out. And of course, that passage of play, a couple of passes later, it ends up in the net. And it's that real frustration, whereas that 9 times out of 10, you probably get away with that. But again, every now and then, they break, they score, and people ask questions.
And finally, in League Two, where Johnny Mitchell, who despite playing more than 110 games over the past three campaigns, was part of that star-studded free agent brigade up until Saturday. So Harrogate opted against De Gea and plumped for the ex-Doncaster man, who kept it clean in a win at Walsall and earned the following praise from manager Simon Weaver. So Weaver said his handling was good, his kicking was good, and he held a good, aggressive high line for a keeper, which was a standout point when we were looking to recruit someone. He didn't flap at all, did he? He exuded confidence, and it spread across the back four because they grew in confidence then. And Dean Bouzanis up from the back, out of nowhere, in fact, for a Sutton side who looked down and out at Colchester, only for a 95th minute leveller to prompt the active Australians to run the length of the pitch and perform the customary knee slide in front of the travelling support. Always like to promote a goalkeeper celebrating.
And this was a really passionate celebration. That is a long way to run. That's a good 90-yard sprint to the other end. And he has absolutely nailed the knee slide. Now, look, it does bring back memories. Once or twice, I remember, there's nothing like a last kick of the game winner where, of course, the goalkeeper, you've got to stay tuned in. You've got to get everybody organised. Don't want to get too carried away. But when you kind of feel that it is literally the last kick of the game and the chances of you conceding thereafter are 1 in 1,000, to have the opportunity to sprint up to the other end and join in the celebrations with the team, it's one of the best feelings. Clean Sheet Club. Okay, we're back with this. Of course, Clean Sheet Club. We didn't do Clean Sheet Club last week, so no doubt Matt will have the league table, which I cannot wait to hear. But we start in the Premier League. Andre Onana back to back. Neto back with a blank. Alisson for all at home. Into the Championship, Brad Collins, account opened. Jack Bonham, hat-trick. Ryan Alsop, that's a mighty, mighty blank to bite. Senny Dieng, 5 from 7. Asmir Begovic, super hooper. Max O'Leary, double bubble. Bart Biakowski, cleans when he wins. Ben Hamer, account open, mark 2. Into League 1, Nicholas Bilakapic, Sydney Stopper, Nathan Baxter, all comps quaddy. Matthew Cox, as bright as a Sutton. Joe Wildsmith, all's well that rams well. Jay Lynch, sparkling. Max Thompson, welcome return. Tay Ashby Hammond, take him or leave him. Only please believe him, he's always going to be respectable. I mean, you got to explain that one. And into League 2, Alex Bass, climbing ladders. Harvey Davis, on the spin. Nick Townsend, you can't keep a good man down. Craig McGillivray, MKOK. Luke McGee, foiling former friends. Johnny Mitchell, 100%. Arthur Okonkwo, going to be good.
Going to be good, and you were good, Richard. Well done you. Well done you. A good return.
Thank you. Thank you. There was one there. Can you just explain that one? Give us a second, Tay Ashby Hammond.
Oh, yes. That was a hit in the late 80s, I want to say, for a duo known as Mel and Kim, Richard. A very pop 80s track. Basically, his name, Tay, sounds like the beginning of that song. Do you want to... Let's quickly hear it.
Wow. You really are clutching. But if you're happy with that, then that's absolutely fine.
Mate, we're on the about 150th Clean Sheet Club, so you've got to think of new things.
All right, fair play.
Would you like the table? You said you're excited.
I would love the table. I do not know who's top of the pops.
It's apt. It's changed since we were last on. So there are five goalkeepers with seven clean sheets apiece. Three have done it in 16, two in 17. The three who've managed it in 16 are Alex Palmer of West Bromwich Albion, Will Norris of Portsmouth, and Joe Wildsmith of Derby County. And then the two who've managed it in 17 are Nicholas Bailo-Kapic, Peterborough United, of course, and Alex Bass on loan at AFC Wimbledon from Sunderland.
Great stuff. Really tight, isn't it? It's going to be quite the race this year, quite the battle.
Absolutely. So we'll just finish up with some quick admin, shall we, Richard? Some goalkeeping news. So firstly, congrats to Ryan Gosney, who racked up 150 clean sheets for Scholing a couple of weeks ago. They play in the Southern League South Division 1. So racking up that number of clean sheets at any club, at any level, is quite the achievement. And I don't know whether you saw this, Richard. Cassio Ramos, the Corinthians goalkeeper, they were playing in a league clash with Atletico Mineiro. An indirect free kick was taken by Mineiro, and Ramos has just let it go in. It's not touched anybody en route. So he's allowed it to go in, and a free kick for Corinthians has been given.
I did see this. Do you know what? And I know this was doing the rounds. And yeah, I know it scared the life out of his manager and then obviously found out that it was indirect. It is still one of them. I think the fact that, and I kind of get it, like there is a very small risk. If you're trying to make the save, there is obviously that small risk that you drop the ball. It wasn't particularly hard. It was one that 99 times out of 100, he probably gathers it without any issue. But he obviously realised, why take any risk whatsoever and just step out the way? But I can imagine being in the stadium at the time, I'm sure that the majority of the fans would not have known that it was indirect. So I would have loved to have been there and seen the reaction. But credit to him. That is incredibly intelligent and also incredibly brave. I think even just to have that moment when everyone's looking at you thinking, what have you just done?
Brave, but also not brave at the same time, right? He's not backed himself to catch that. What would you have done?
Do you know what? I was trying to think of a similar example, and I don't really have a good one where, yeah, I'm trying to think. The only one might be like tennis, where you have like an easy smash to win the point, but you know that it is going out, and so then you just duck under it and let it go out. I guess, is that similar, maybe? I don't know. It's just, it's one of them where I would have held it, I think. In fact, I would have tried to hold it. That's the main point. Whether I'd have
tried being the operative word there.
I'd have made it look good. I'd have done that, certainly. No, I think in that moment, again, I'm just trying to think that when you're facing a free kick, it's not like the referee always makes it really obvious that it's direct or indirect. Like, he's not shouting over to the goalkeeper, this is indirect. So you need to know. You need to know the signals that he's putting up, if it's one arm or whatever it might be. So, no, I definitely would have tried to hold it, just because, again, I don't know how he knows 100% for a fact that it is indirect.
And finally, the Pat Jennings statue, Richard, was unveiled in Kildare Street in Newry. So this was created by artist Andy Edwards. But a quick quiz, actually, Richard, to finish up. So he was the first UK player to appear in 1,000 matches. He also won the 1976 Players' Player of the Year. But he was the first goalkeeper to win that award, but he wasn't the last. Who was the last goalkeeper to win that award? There's only been one more since Pat Jennings.
Really? Oh, I should know this, shouldn't I? I should. Can you give me a year?
It was two seasons later, so 1977-78, which gives it away, really.
Does it give it away? I'm going to go Ray Clements.
The other one,
Peter Bonetti.
No, correct first name.
Peter Shilton, of course.
It's late for you, isn't it, mate?
It is late over here. Yeah, I do need to get some sleep.
The Young Player PFA Player of the Year Award was won, you rolling your eyes, has only been won once by a goalkeeper. Do you know who that was?
Richard Wright.
1974-75, so you're not going to have a clue, but you know him. And I think he may have coached you, or you've been involved with him at some point in your career. Mervyn Day.
Ah, yeah. Okay, I did not know that. Ah, okay, yeah, I know Mervyn well.
Okay, Richard, that is us. Thank you.
Matthew, thank you.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast, Between the Sticks. Keepers.
Away.